Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Today's gospel reading presents us with an apparently hard teaching of Jesus. For our Lord speaks bluntly to one who comes to him, and he leaves gloomily, sad, and depressed. It's a challenging teaching, but it's a teaching to us, for we can see ourselves here. It's also easy to miss what's really going on. So take a walk with me and look in a little more closely what happens on this day. Our Lord Jesus, proceeding on his way, just an ordinary day for him, when suddenly a man runs up to him, kneels in the dirt before him, and calls out. Luke's gospel tells us that this man was a ruler of a synagogue, a respected leader, one who should neither be seen running out in public nor kneeling on the ground before someone else. But he acts in a surprising way, coming before Jesus, this remarkable man. And he asks a simple question, one that we should be thinking about as well. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It certainly sounds like a dream situation. What any minister wants to hear, what a good rabbi would like placed before him. And then Jesus answers, but probably not in the way that we'd expect him to. I suspect if I responded to someone's question like that, I might have some questions to answer before our elders. But I don't have the knowledge of the Son of God. Jesus' answer sounds a little prickly until we look deeper. But he engages him at the level of the question that he's asking. First, why do you call me good? Only God is good. He's testing his words. What are you really saying to me when you say that? Do you know the meaning of what they say? Do you know who it is you talk to? Oh, certainly not. He's not communicating that Jesus is God and shares the attribute of goodness that only God truly has, though that would be true. Nor is he talking about the moral goodness of Jesus. No, he's commenting on his ability as a teacher. You know a lot, and there's a lot of answers in this world around us. So what do you say, Jesus? What should I do to inherit eternal life? Well, ask a question like that, and you get a direct answer. You want to know what to do? No, you already know what to do. You know the commandments. What are they? Now, Jesus clearly knows what this man's situation is, and he's leading him to an answer that he's already internalized but doesn't have the courage to bring out. And yet, as he answers, it shows just how far away he really is. The commandments, why, Jesus, I know them well. I've kept them all since my youth. In this context, Jesus, I had my bar mitzvah. I stood up and I read the Torah. I gave my recitation of faith. I knew what it was all about. And ever since that time, I won't talk about what went before, but ever since that time, I've kept them all perfectly from then until now. And this is a man who's between about 25 and 40 years old by the words that are used to describe him. So from the time he grew up to the time he was middle-aged, I've kept all the commandments, and I have no doubt that he believed that was true. But it shows the problem, because the only way that you can claim something like this is if you've taken God's law and watered it down. If you've lowered the bar so far that you can step right over the top of it, what it really shows is that you haven't heard the law at all. Nor had he been listening to Jesus' teaching, because Jesus had consistently been turning up the law. Avoiding one big thing in a commandment is not what the law is about. But I'm sure he was thinking back, I've never bowed before an idol. I've never cheated on my wife, and I'm not a thief. Perfect. But God is calling to something more profound, to holiness, perfection, something none of us can obtain. But he doesn't get it. I've kept all of these things. Now, if Jesus' first line of questioning was surprising, his response right now is even more so. He doesn't lash out at him, "You fool! You've not kept a one of them." Instead, Jesus loved the man. He recognizes what's wrong, but he loves him because he wants to know the will of God. But true love will not avoid such a crucial problem, something that's destroying the man's life and soul. Oh, Jesus shows love, but it's tough love today. And with a word, he cuts through the man's pretense of self-righteousness. If you've really kept all these commandments, then only one thing remains. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor. For if you really had no other gods, it should be no big deal to give up your resources, what many of us want to worship. If you really want to protect your neighbor's life, it should be nothing to give up your own wealth for them. If you do not truly covet, this will be the simplest thing. But this one redirection cuts to the heart of it and shows that he hadn't kept them all, that there was a self-centeredness in his soul, one we probably understand well. And he goes away saddened, depressed, gloomy. And Jesus gives a warning to all. How hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, we don't know that the man's story ends there. He went away gloomy, and that's the last we hear of him, but we don't know what he did with Jesus' counsel. And if in time, even that day or years later, he might have understood what Jesus was revealing to him and come to the gift of faith. But that's not why this story is here, to detail the one life of this person. No, it's given for us. Because it's so easy for us to sit at a distance in judgment about this man. Surely we know better. We have kept the faith from our youth. Why, Jesus, I was confirmed. I stayed in the church. I followed your way. I brought my children to baptism. I remember my own. And surely, Lord, I've done all the right things. We're not like the rich young ruler, are we? But is that true? Do we speak and act as if we are the righteous ones by ourselves? The world, Jesus, the world, it's immoral. It's violent. It's uncaring. And yet here we are, good people, church-going people, here on a hot day in a gymnasium because we want to be near you. Surely, Jesus, you couldn't be talking about us. Oh, yes, we're doing all right. But others are more wealthy than us, and shouldn't they be giving more? But me, I tithe. I give 10%, as if that's sufficient. Do you really think God only wants part of you? Even a fraction of you? No. God wants you all. All of you. Your life. Your heart. Your dedication. Because he knows the life that he would give to you. How would we fare if we had the courage to do what that young man didn't, to assess our life according to God's law? Luther reminds us as we prepare for Holy Communion that simply looking at the Ten Commandments shows us that we have not kept them, that we're sinners in need of forgiveness, that we have had other gods, that we have not used God's name as he gives it to us, that we don't sanctify the holy day and gladly hear the word of God as we ought, that we struggle with authority, that we don't protect life and well-being or our marriages or people's reputations or the truth, that we are not satisfied. But even the immediate point given to the man might give us pause. What would we do if the Lord looked at us and said, "Sell it all. Sell it all that you have, and give it to the poor"? Do we care about the justice of the goods we purchase? Do we recognize the humanity of the person who serves us, or do we treat them as someone to be pushed around to make us feel better on a hard day? Do we avoid the glances of those in need, fearful that they might be expecting us to help? Are we reluctant to share? And have we become so cold that we fail to recognize that Jesus comes in our midst, embodied in the poor and the needy and the broken? Just one thing's needed in your life if you would justify yourself: do it all. Fix the world. Give all that you have and much more. So how are you feeling, you rich young rulers, as we leave the presence of our Jesus? Feeling gloomy and saddened? Good. Because Jesus doesn't give us this teaching as an end in itself. He means every bit of it, but it's serving a bigger, holy purpose. He's taking us to the breaking point of self-sufficiency. What must I do, we ask? And the answer is everything or nothing. There is no other way. Either we do all of it in its entirety, or we let our Jesus give the completion to us. Either we try to save ourselves and fail, or we let him serve us. You see, what the man was missing as he knelt before Jesus wasn't a willingness to try harder. The truth was, he hadn't really met the teacher, the God-man who truly is good, the one who was coming to him not to give him a list of things to do, but of doing what was necessary for him, the only solution. This Jesus, as God, was truly rich, but undergoes a great exchange, becoming poor in every way, giving everything away, even his own life, for human beings who have no other hope. He puts our lives above his own. He gave his own life on the cross for poor beggars like you and me, so that we could live. You know the real challenge this rich man faced on this day? He didn't hear all that Jesus was saying. He heard that word of law, "Sell it all, give it to the poor," and he stopped listening. Because Jesus said, "And follow me." This is what Jesus is asking us: to follow him, to let him do the work that he came to do, to be our Savior, to be our gracious Lord. This morning we're blessed again to see God's gift of faith in baptism. And what did Landon do this morning? He just lay there and received God's goodness poured out upon him. It was our Lord Jesus who did the work, and yet here he is, a redeemed child of God, our brother in Christ, loved by the Father. Truth is, he did no less than any of us do, for our Lord comes to us all in the same way, giving everything doing all so that we might be his own, calling us now to follow him. Follow me, he says. Trust me to be your Savior. Know that he loves you, that he cares for you. Know that in him you have life. And when we do, we find that serving our neighbor becomes a simpler thing too. For knowing how Jesus provides for us, we can now hear his call to serve one another and to serve the poor. What must I do? The good teacher, the Savior, responds, I've done it. It's all given to you. Now follow me. Live faithfully, live generously toward others, and live in love. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.